This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Let's get it cracking. 3 o'clock standing tall, feeling good here on a Monday, getting busy as we come past the championship game. Seat Williams, Ari, he's in the ones and twos. Good guests, good ticket giveaway, folk. Huh? Jake Cornegay about 10, 11 minutes from now from the Westgate. He's going to chop up and let you know exactly how the public and the Sharps did, including when the props are going to be ready, because I know you scavengers out there. Yes, you're going to be all over them. Mess them up early. Chop those lines up. We'll see how you can do there. Then, of course, lighters up. Dope at the bottom of the hour. And that final go-round, we've got it. The Vegas Golden Knights. We got the ticket giveaways, baby. Be all over it. Columbus tomorrow night. Number one in the league in points. Yes, your Vegas Golden Knights. We got all that set up. Boy, what a weekend. Plenty to get to. Ari, how are you, bro?
I'm good.
Fascinating weekend.
A little overwhelmed, but yes, I'm good. Yeah, it was.
Oh, man.
Number one in the NHL, not just in our division. 66
That's right.
points. And I present to you, I have a good fun fact to tell you about. We are three games away from tying, I believe, the record for the most wins of any team in any inaugural season with 33 wins, which is the previous
record. So we're an expansion team, right?
Well, that's not even part of the statistic. It's just any team in their first season.
That's getting lit.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty exciting.
Well, let's get lit ourselves here. And before we get to all that, let's kind of talk about what's going on with the Super Bowl tickets. Now, there have corporates and those who jump in to get the tickets, to buy them in bulks, to resell them. Take a guess how much you can buy a ticket. Just average Super Bowl ticket, Super Bowl 52. How much?
I'm about to wow you with this because I just reported this last night. So it was, I believe it was $5,400. And then after the first quarter of the Vikings games, it became $4,500. something like that.
How about nine racks?
Whoa.
$9,000 will get you a ticket. Not you and your girl.
Man.
Not you and your dog. Just you in the game back in Minnesota. So kind of tough. It's kind of like giving up 148 points if you're LeBron James, right? And they did to OKC over the weekend. So plenty to get to. We'll get you started here with something we've done all year long. We may as well continue it. We only have one left after this. Rockin' the NFL. This was Zimmer against Peterson, I beg your pardon. And off this top, you saw things go in favor of the Vikings. I had +3.5 with the Eagles, so I'm thinking, Case Keenum got to start with Rudolph, 25-yarder.
Second down and 6, this one floated for Rudolph. Touchdown, what a start. Four men on the rush. Keenum throws, he's picked. Patrick Robinson back the other way. Looking for a block. Gets it. Robinson for the touchdown. Xavier Rhodes on the bench.
Now and you look at things the way they went after that. You heard the pick six. From that point on, 38 zip. Hello, Nick Foles, 352 yards, 3 TDs. Line them up. Cash them in, Eagles.
Touchdown. On third down and goal, Foles surveys, fires, touchdown, Alshon Jeffrey.
You shouldn't be in here. we got Brad the Believer in here. He's a lifetime Vikings fan. I don't know why you're suffering like this, Holmes. He's back in here listening to this stuff. It's like, he's pulling his hair out. It looked good early. What can you do? You give up 352 yards, 3 touchdowns, over 100 on the ground. You're the number one defensive team in the league. You're number one defensive team in stopping on third down. You couldn't stop them. Hey, you can't join them, but I've joined them. I've got the underdog dog face today. All right, let's move on. That game, once again, the final score 38-7. So it looks like a rematch of Super Bowl 39, I believe it was. 2004, 2005. You remember the Puke Bowl with McNabb? got up to the line of scrimmage and puked right over his center's butt. Just couldn't deal with the pressure, baby. No, it wasn't the hot dog and the nachos. It was pressure. McNabb couldn't deal with it. Well, this was game one, but we saved it for game two because it was the better of the two games as we continue to rock the NFL for you here. This was very important in the game, but it didn't turn out to be in the end. Gronk, he got blasted in the second quarter. And we'll take you to that highlight and what else we have here. But that first half, when you lead 14-10 at halftime, this happened for the first time the entire year. You have a lead, and with 51 seconds left, you kneel. That's what Blake Bortles did. That showed him no confidence. Let's go to the highlights here as we continue to rock it.
First and goal. Still with Bortles. Bortles lofts it, and it's caught by Mercedes Lewis. White. In for the touchdown. Good protection. Amendola for the touchdown. Second and goal. Fake it to White. Looking around. Has time. Throws it. Did he get the feet down? What an effort. Touchdown, Amendola.
And there was a lot of things going on in that game that didn't make much sense. A couple of calls that weren't there. I didn't really see the PI in the one play down the stretch that put the ball down near the goal line for New England to come back in that ball game. And then, of course, at the end of the game, this was surprising. Cleet Blakeman, the referee, the first to congratulate Tom Brady, patted him on the chest. This is the referee. He got there before his teammates. Hey, Tom, good job, buddy. Hey, invite me to the party with my peeps later.
Interesting picture. I saw it.
Kind of crazy. But in the end, they did what they had to do to get that victory. They came back and won that ball game 24-20. The Patriots just seemed to get it done. You leave an opening for Belichick and Tom Brady, they're going to do you in, as Edelman just scorched them. That one play where he caught the ball and did the toe jans like a ballet in the back of the end zone was spectacular, and that's the way you get it done. 24-20, Patriots with the victory. Really nothing else you could say. The dude is 40 years of age. He's got to be the MVP, and all you got to do is just applaud the Pats. I'll tell you right now, I can't wait till we get our guest on here in a moment, and he's going to tell us exactly what the number will be in his estimate in the future. And as Jake Cornegay over at the Westgate, it opened at 5.5. I guess now it's up to 6. I don't know, though. I'm thinking I'm going to take the points. All right. I'm believing in the end that no team's going to repeat. And when I believe that, that means the Patriots included. So there you go. That's all we have for you on this one. It's a setup for the Eagles to see if they could get some redemption, even though it's a new regime, a new coach. Andy Reid, of course, no longer there. Peterson's their head coach. This right here was kind of disappointing. I didn't expect this. Zimmer didn't even show up for the press conference after the defeat. And he's a class act. He's shown class all through his tenure as a head coach. And when you heard different people on ESPN say, hey, where was he? He wouldn't even show up and talk to us afterwards. It was kind of surprising because he is a class dude. You heard what he said earlier about being blind in the right eye. He's blind in the right eye, but the most important thing is the care of his team. He's a caring guy, but you have to deal with responsibility. And part of that responsibility is you have to meet with the media. It's your obligation. And you hear players ditching sometimes, but you never hear of a head coach, especially a guy like Zimmer, who's a class dude, not showing up for the press conference after the game. Kind of a surprise and a disappointment. But you move on, and we'll see what Super Bowl 52 brings us. You're looking at a situation now where you've got Nick Foles, as we told you, threw over 350 yards, 3 touchdowns, in a system that he's familiar with. He got it done. On the other side, 40-year-old Tom Brady, eating lunch, doing his thing. I mean, what else can Tom Brady do if he adds another ring to the mallet? I mean, right off into the sunset someday. We don't want to see Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a guy I don't want to see get injured and carried off the field. This guy right here has always got his legs under him. Jay Cornegay, Vice President of Operations over at the Racing Sportsbook at the Westgate. How are you, Jay?
That is not true. All right. Are you more frustrated about Tom Brady winning these championships and you just don't want him to go bye-bye? Or are you really concerned about Tom Brady's health?
Oh, I want to see him lose this in 2 weeks because I'm taking the points.
Okay.
But I don't want to see a guy who, let's face it, he's been the face of the game. He's got 5 rings looking for another one. I don't want to see him carried off on a stretcher in the end. It would be nice to see them lose this week in 2 weeks and then see him next year decide, end of the year, announce it, this is my final year. That's what I would like. I don't want to see him get hurt. Let's put it that way. I'm a Tom Brady fan, but I'm not a real big Tom Brady fan. I like Aaron Rodgers and Rivers more. But let's face it, what he's done for the game, he's made up a fan base of big supporters and then also those who are haters because he's that good.
Listen, I don't want him to get hurt, but, you know, I'm looking forward to the next generation where we don't have to face Tom Brady anymore. How's that?
I'm with you on that. I agree. I'm with you. All right, Jay, kind of update us on what took place over there at the Westgate as far as the props you had, the in-game wagering, the sharps, the public, and how the book fared on these 2 games.
Well, we actually had one of our better days ever outside of Super Bowl seat, and mainly because we won both games, and it was the best case scenario for us on both games. So we had a really good day, and the handle was terrific, and it's been great all season long. In fact, I was looking at it, we didn't quite get to double figures in increase in handle for the year, but I'm just talking about pro football. As you know, the underdogs are like 9-1 in the playoffs. And, you know, when you hear those kind of numbers, it usually means good news for the sports books. And it's true. we had this great playoff run. Didn't see it coming because how the favorites were doing in December. They were really rolling along as we saw separation between those elite teams and the rest of the field. They just kept on covering and doing well, and we really struggled in December. January has been really good to us.
Overall, biggest bet, biggest handle, did someone come in and drop 7 figures? What was your biggest bet for these 2 games?
No 7 figures, that's for sure. Not even close. We saw sizable 5-figure bets. They didn't quite reach 6 figures, but we had a good handful of those. We kept on waiting, but no one really unloaded. I think they're probably going to look at the Super Bowl and go after that. But speaking of the Super Bowl, we do expect record handles again. And surpassing that $138 million that we handled last year, that is the state of Nevada, we think it will easily surpass that, not just because the matchup is appealing. You got a terrific Philadelphia fan base. I think there's going to be a lot of anti-Patriot sentiment like there usually is. And so I think that they're going to get plenty of Philadelphia money. Economy's good, and I think it's just shaping up to be a very intriguing matchup.
To your recollection, it almost sounds like last year in the championship games, you had more of a bigger handle than this year. Is that accurate or not?
I haven't had a chance to look at that, but okay. I think our handle for this past weekend will surpass last year's.
Good.
But that's not because even though we didn't take any big 6-figure bets, we took a lot of 5-figure bets. And I know that the overall grind and, you know, 4-figure bets, you know, 3 figures, all those were, coming in with both hands here. So we're pretty confident that we wrote more this year than we did last year.
Jay Cornegay, Westgate Racing Sportsbook here on the show, Game On. Okay, Tom Brady and the Patriots went in 24-20. They didn't cover, and it didn't go over, so that was all in your favor, right?
That was the best case scenario for us. Once again, now, you know, in progress is a different story. I think we're adjusting with the Patriot games because they always seem to fall behind now, and continue to make these comebacks. When we were talking about this when we were making the Super Bowl line, and we threw up we posted it right at the beginning of the fourth quarter, which was 5.5 Patriots, and it still remains at 5.5. You know, the perception is, I mean, the Patriots are this, I mean, juggernaut team that just kind of runs over everybody. And it's true, they do win, okay, but they don't run over their opponents, especially in the Super Bowl. They all these games are very close. In fact, their biggest margin of victory was last year's overtime win against the Falcons, and that was 6 points. And all the others have come down to the last minute. And so, you know, we give them all the credit in the world because what they're doing and winning these championships. But as far as the betting line, you know, there's this perception that it should be a lot higher because it's the Patriots. But the truth of the matter is that these are usually close games.
How about the total in this Super Bowl matchup?
We opened 47.5 and went to 48. Last night, and it was 48 until just a little while ago. We went back to 47.5.
Props in the game, in the two games, which ones went in your favor and then the ones that didn't quite work for you?
I'm not sure as far as I know that both the props for the games overall, see, were very good to us again. So I know that obviously all the Vikings propositions that did garner a lot of support over the week went under. And the other one, I think that outside of Fournette, we did pretty good, but I can't recall which one was the best, but overall pretty good results for us.
Oh, that's our lead for the next question, Jay. You know what it is? When? Are we talking Wednesday or Thursday?
Oh, we already have the props up.
Yes. When are you going to put them up? Are we talking next week, this week, or when are you going to send them now?
Well, we did throw up about 20 of them, okay? Ooh. And we threw up MVP, which Brady is the favorite, of course, at 4-5. And I think Foles is the second choice at 5-1. But, you know, we just threw some up to appease those that were shaking out there. And we are planning to post for betting purposes on Thursday at 7 p.m. They will light up like a Christmas tree in the Super Bowl at 7 p.m. Thursday. They will not be available on the app until about noon on Friday. And then on Friday afternoon, we'll have the sheets available.
Give us a scene setter, what it's like. Once you put those props up Thursday, I mean, this is like back in the old Stardust days when they used to have that opening line, right? And there were lines. You got to have, I'm going to guess, pretty close to hundreds of people waiting to come in and chop them up early.
Yeah, there are some, you know, and we know most of them, and we know what a lot of the early action that we get are guys that are just basically playing both sides. You know, they might have a number of, let's say, 49 yards by Lewis rushing yards, and they might have it somewhere else at 60. So they're betting over 49 and taking under 60, and that's what normally happens in the first couple of days of these propositions. And because it's such a kind of a chaotic moment when we open these things, we do have one line that actually, because if we open lines, I mean, we just get double popped. I mean, it's just, you know, we could have five lines open and they're all betting the same thing. And so we kind of let everybody just rotate around, and they've been very good at it over the last couple of years. But most of those guys that are betting those propositions are doing exactly that. They're you know, catching some good numbers, whether it's here or at another operation.
Jay Cornegay, Westgate Race and Sportsbook, here on the show, Game On. Now, I'm guessing because that morning of the Super Bowl, the Vegas Golden Knights are on the ice. So I'm guessing you're going to tie a prop in with the Knights and the game.
We saw that schedule about 2 months ago, and we were looking at each other. I go, do you just realize that the Knights play on Super Bowl Sunday, the morning of? And we just all looked at each other. We're like, oh, here we go. It's like, all right. So very excited about that. And they play the Capitals on Super Bowl Sunday morning. And that's, I think it's a pretty early start. I think it's a 9 o'clock start local time. They're at Washington. But you certainly can expect more than a few propositions with the Knights and the Super Bowl.
And we'll come back to football, but sticking with the Knights, they play again tonight. Tomorrow night, rather.
Yep.
Yeah, and number one in points now in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Where were they opening the season on a future, and did somebody catch them at that number?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we first posted the Stanley Cup odds, which was probably right before the Stanley Cup Finals started between Nashville and Pittsburgh, we listed the Knights at 200-1. Basically, they were up all summer and no one really played them. So by the time we got to, let's say, end of August, September, they got as high as 500-1.
Whoa!
And yes, this is for the Cup. They did bet them, you know. And once the season started going, I mean, I'll say when the preseason games started, you know, people started betting them a little bit, and obviously none of us thought they were going to be this good. And giving those kind of odds out doesn't take long before you accumulate some liability. So, and as we moved it down, and as there's success continued, we kept on lowering them each and every game and in between games as money just kept on coming in. But, you know, it still was really early. There was a lot of sharp guys that were betting against the Knights for probably the first 3 weeks of the season. I mean, they just kept on betting against them, you know. And we were actually doing really well on the night games early because there was so much money against the Knights. Now, the tide has turned over the course of the season, and the sharps still play against them. They will actually play on them, but they just pick their spots now. It's just like any other good team. But the general public, I mean, they're all over the Knights now, every single game. And that's fine. We expect it. Despite, you know, how we can be so unbalanced on these games, believe me, everyone, Ed, Jeff, myself, we're all still rooting for the Knights. I mean, we all have season tickets. We're going, and we're rooting for them. Now, if they win the Cup, it's a pretty big hit for us, but we got a long way to go, and we're certainly fine with it. I kind of joke that I could be out on the strip for that Stanley Cup parade with my resume in my hand, right? Yeah, so.
That would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it?
I don't know if that'd be awesome, but you know, it would be great. Yeah, it would be awesome before the team and the city. I would be thrilled to see that happen. But you know, we have a prop up now. You know, that's just yes or no. Will they win the prop or will they win the cup? Excuse me. And it's like minus -1100 on the no, plus $7 on the yes.
Okay. As far as the future, is that taken down now, or where is it if it's still available?
Oh, it's still there. Yeah, I mean, we have all our NHL futures up. You know, we have that proposition up. You know, we take them down when they're playing. Obviously, we got to make sure that we do that. But you just never know what's going to happen during the course of the game. You can't monitor everything. But I'll give you an update on the Stanley Cup odds. You're looking at Tampa Bay at 6-1. Pittsburgh's at 10-1. And then you have the Knights at 7-1 for the Stanley Cup.
So they went all the way from 200-1.
500.
500-1, currently at 7-1. People are probably still betting them too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. I mean, 7-1. You're getting 7-1. Now, if you look at the just to win the Western Conference, they're 7-2, and they are the favorite to win the Western Conference at this point.
That's incredible. You know what? making the playoffs, one, is incredible enough. It'll be fascinating if they win a series and then move on. If they somehow make it to the finals of the Stanley Cup in an expansion year, which has never happened, holy guacamole.
Yeah, I mean, we're all excited about this. It's just, it just kind of brings this, I will say it this way, like a crappy smile to your face.
Right.
I usually say something different, but it's, listen, I have jerseys. I have, I don't know how many long sleeve t-shirts I have the Knights right now. I have a sticker in my car, okay? I'm all in, right?
Right.
I'm so excited. It's a lot of fun to go to these games. I think they're a great group of guys. I think the management has just done a tremendous job. I think what they're doing for the community is just tremendous. I mean, we all talk about their success, you know, on the ice, but they have so many other hours and contributions to this community, and I think it's just terrific.
It's incredible. Go Knights. Now, different story with the Cavaliers. They dropped 148 on them, OKC the other night. LeBron James is like, hey, I haven't even lost a video game where somebody scored 148 on me. So they're struggling. And what's going on with them as far as the public? Is the public and the Sharps, what are they doing with the Cavalier games? Because let's face it, I mean, these totals, you can't put them high enough. They play no D. And also now Isaiah Thomas is in there. Love is playing center. They have deficiencies. Every stop that you make on their defense, with the exception of LeBron James. And you could tell LeBron James the other night, he's playing, he wouldn't take himself out of the game. Mm-hmm. He just took the whipping. So what's going on with the Sharps and the Cavs?
Well, yeah, the Cavs are doing exactly that. I mean, they're just, I don't know, sometimes they approach these games, which, you know, just, like an exhibition game to me. I mean, they're just waiting for the playoffs. I think they've been waiting for the playoffs since the, you know, December. I mean, it just feels like they're just going to, I mean, to me, we all know they're going to turn around, but I didn't think it would be this obvious. You know, it's really unfortunate because, you know, some of these games can be really good competitive games to watch, and sometimes I just look at it and they look like they're doing 80% out there, you know, and especially on the defensive side. Now, as far as futures, the Warriors are 2-5, and they're still the overwhelming favorite. You know, the Cavaliers are 6-1. I know a lot of people are talking about Houston, and they're 8-1, the third choice. But many think, well, for those Boston fans out there, they're 14-1. Is it going to come down to the Cavaliers and Warriors again?
Hey,
yes.
By the way of the Nevada Gaming Board, is it possible that you can put up at the end of the season or late in the year, where will LeBron James be playing next year?
No, we can't post anything like that because somebody knows something or they could find out something and it's not really considered the field of play. So it's, you know, you're basing it off of news.
Right.
And rather than an actual event. So that's going to be a no.
Okay. Now, I will be betting the Eagles. Should I take them now, 5.5? I know some places may have a 6. Or should I wait? Do you think that number is coming down or will be going up?
Well, see, I see nothing but 5s and 5.5s. And a couple of those 5.5s are now 5. So do I think that I don't know if it'll ever get back up to 6, to tell you the truth. I think we're going to get a lot of support for Philadelphia. I think, you know, of course, New England money will come down, but my guess, I mean, just a shot out there is I wouldn't be surprised if this thing gets down to 4.5 or maybe 4.
I should jump it today.
It's anyone's guess, but remember, you know, I don't do this for a living. I just kind of run the circus, and I'm still punching in and out every day.
Hey, do you recall what what the setup was, NFC, AFC champion, -3, -2, what that was earlier? Because could you have middled this with the way it's set up?
Yeah, I think you could have. I mean, it was like 3, it was 2.5, you know, a lot of, most of the season, 3, 3.5. So
AFC?
It was anywhere from 2, AFC was okay. Anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5, so yeah, you could have if it, you know, the Patriots win by 4.
Right.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, right. Sometimes we get lucky, but looking forward to a first touchdown. Will there be a score in the first 6.5 minutes? All the other good props. You say Thursday about what time?
7 o'clock. That's when it will light it up. If you come earlier, you won't see anything on the board. I mean, we light it up like a Christmas tree at 7 p.m. on this Thursday, the 25th.
Have I missed anything? Do we need to drop something else on them here?
No, we're all good. You know, we got a couple of venues that are going on for the game, and you can check with our box office and get all that information. There's certain different levels of parties, and I believe that we do have some VIP booths, and they call them pods. Those are like VIP seating that are still available for purchase, which is basically a food and beverage minimum to sit in those areas, but you'll get prime real estate in the Superbook for the game.
Yeah, now, okay, one other thing now, the best venue on the planet to watch football is obviously the theater there at the Westgate. What's going on there in 2 weeks?
Well, they are taking reserve seating. I think it's like $100. You get reserve seating and some food and beverage there, and you get prime seating in there, so you don't have to stand in line all day to get in there. And then you have some invited guests, and then you also have seats that are open for the public. So you got a little mixture of it's kind of a la carte the theater these days, but it's something for everyone. If you don't want to worry about your seat, and you can buy seats just like you do for a show, it'd be like $100, which includes some food and beverage, and or you can if you're lucky to be invited, you don't have to worry about that as well. But you also open to the public where you have all your food and beverage specials. It's a great venue. You're going to have a screen that's like 25 by 30 feet HD, and we got a couple other giant screens that are probably 20 by 20 that are in there, all HD, non-smoking, and it's a great venue to watch it. So it's called Football Central on that Sunday, and you can call our box office for all the details.
And, folk, I've been there many times. No place on the planet better to watch a football game than the theater at the Westgate. I mean, it is Bombay City. Nothing like it. Now, on the low, will Jay Cornegay be wearing underdog dog face in 2 weeks?
I don't know, but there sure are thriving and relishing that underdog role, and this is right up their alley. And I think it's a great angle to take. So, there's nothing like playing sports when you got a little chip on your shoulder. You might not get respect from some people. That all that does is motivate you more. So that's certainly playing right into Philadelphia's hands.
Nobody does it like you, Jay. Appreciate you. Where can the folks reach you?
You can catch me on Twitter at Jay Cornegay, JayKornegay. And I'm usually pretty good about answering all those questions. And if you have any questions about our operation or the props coming up, just send me a note.
You're the best, bro. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Pete.
Get you in a week. All right. Jay Cornegay, the props, 7 o'clock Thursday, baby. Nothing like it. It's going to be a madhouse at the Westgate. Jay Cornegay, Vice President of Operations Race and Sportsbook at the Westgate. I'm telling you, if you haven't experience the game in the theater at the Westgate, it's actually where they do their evening shows. I don't know who they have booked in there now on a nightly basis, but every Sunday, and they've done this for years. We used to have our remotes in there every Sunday from the Point 97.1, the Point, to Comp, to all of our stations, NBC Sports Radio here, also Fox and ESPN. I think Deportes may have even had a taste or two in there, but that is like dope city. Nothing bigger, nothing better. I'll tell you what, when I'm leaving here, where I'm going, I'm headed to a sports book because I am definitely checking Underdog. Next up, we've got Lighters Up. Dope is next.
Underdog is here. When criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they should fear and frighten all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for Underdog. Underdog,
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 underdog, speed of lightning, roar of thunder. Fight.
same for a special occasion.
Like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Hey, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show Is Dope.
3:39 in the valley. Lighters up. Eagle fans all over the place, mostly on the negative side. Now, they're pretty unruly. We'll get to one of these later in Dope. But what the police had to do, they took Crisco oil. You know, the stuff you put on your food to cook it with? And they put it up on light poles so they wouldn't become vandals after the game. Well, they still jumped up on the poles and got up there somehow. These Eagle fans, man, they could break out of jail if they need to. But this one particular Eagle fan, you've seen him, huh? He's trying to catch the subway. The passengers are rooting, come on, man. This is before the playoff game ended with him running into a concrete pole. Well, Jager Deze says he's okay. That's the guy. He says the pain was eased with the Eagles' 38-7 route over the Vikings in the championship game last night. The mishap occurred when Deze was headed to the game after having a few drinks while watching New England take care of Jacksonville. Dude is 42, right? So he's a ticket holder from suburban Philadelphia, and he was pumped, so he figured, let me now get to the game on time. Well, sorry, the poll stopped him. He got there late, but he says he's cool. And to me, a fan with that kind of passion, it's kind of funny. You got to Google it.
No, I saw it. I think it's a little more liquid courage than it is that subsided the pain. But yeah,
man,
I imagine that's not quite as painful as taking the 38-7 L.
And we'll come back to the Eagle fans later too.
I'm over here looking at Brad like, who took worse pain, the guy that hit the pole or this poor guy? So,
Viking fan.
I just got the dirty look here. That's rough. All right, this is really cool actually. This is a story of a place called John's Crazy Socks. It's a sock shop in Long Island, New York. And it's a kid, John, and his dad that run the business together. They made $1.4 million of revenue in the first year. And just a little interesting part, John has Down syndrome. So, I mean, I'm going to play a clip for you just so you could hear the story. It's pretty awesome. Here we go.
Sock, sock, boy, sock. I'm Sean Cronin from Sean Crazy Socks.
I'm Mark X. Cronin. I'm John's dad. And we are the co-founders together of John's Crazy Socks.
Good idea of fun.
A fun store. But we never quite figured out exactly what a fun store was. What was your next idea?
A food truck.
Food truck. So we had seen a movie about a father and son and a food truck. Seemed like a good idea.
Yeah.
But we had a problem. What was the problem?
Both of us, I can't cook.
And then, what do you say we should sell?
And I want to sell socks because I want to sell socks in my life because I do something like fun and then be queer. Down syndrome never hold me back. Which prison have you who sucks?
We both are absolutely committed to the vision we have, and we both know we need each other. I couldn't do this without John. You probably couldn't do it without me, right?
Right.
And we're having fun. I mean, we're spreading happiness. What's better than that?
How about that? What is better than that? I wasn't even going to mention the Down syndrome part because I just think the story is cool in general. I mean, it's relevant, but the fact that so genuinely he said, what do you want to do? Like, what kind of business do you want to start? Something that's fun, something that's doing great for it. So I just think it's a real cool story. Another thing is it was one of those videos where they post actual words for part of it. And so some of the stuff was they hired like their whole crew is basically disabled people. And they're good, too. They're really enthusiastic. So, yeah, I thought that was really dope. This kid had a vision, regardless of his disability, had a vision executed with his dad. And even the comment at the end, like, they need each other. His dad couldn't have come up with this either. He needed the kids. So I thought to John and his crazy socks, You are dope. Go get some too. They're online. It's actually like a viral story. They're doing good business.
That's a teardropper. That's right? I mean, appreciate you, man. That is dope. Yeah. All right, tonight, Monday Night Raw, 25th anniversary. You remember The Rock? 'Cause I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin. I said so. Shawn Michaels, Britt, Hitman Hart. Keep going down the line, but this dude is the guy.
Yeah, none of them matter.
I think about. No, they all matter.
I'm kidding. But
this
compared
dude,
to this guy.
Woo!
You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, gift stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing, limousine like, jet flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
I mean, who's better than Ric Flair?
Nobody.
See, trash talking, you see it in sports competition where it's, you know, there's nothing staged about it. You saw with Jacksonville. Hey, they, from start to finish, their secondary, their linebackers, they're all over you. They're talking trash. They smother you with what they have to say. Yes. And then they back it. Nothing like WWE Monday Night Raw. So the 25th year, tonight, had to drop some pops and props because it's dope.
I agree. So I'm one of the few grown men in this building, let alone in the world, that has, I've kind of moved on from wrestling. I'm not judging anybody.
Easy.
I'm just saying. I've kind of moved on. But there's something about Ric Flair years later. Like, I just, it was like everyone when you found out it was fake. You know, I moved on, whatever. I'm grown, looking at girls. That's more interesting to me. But now as a grown-up and being more into entertainment, I mean, these guys, in general, these guys are really phenomenal at entertaining. And it also, the physical part of it, it's obvious, like, you know, you can't just pick a guy up and be an entertainer at the same time. Like, that's just something easy to do. But I kind of, you know, I grew up, but Ric Flair never went away. Like, the references, the woo and everything. I mean, he's like just part of my everyday life practically, right? Like, you,
San Diego State, the show. I mean, their student body. They woo, woo.
Yeah.
Woo!
It's the legend. So, yeah, that is dope. I'll give you that. I love it. Might actually watch that just because of him.
Got another one?
One more. This just happened today, actually. It's Amazon Go, which is the new high-tech version, essentially, of a 7-Eleven. They're not branding it. It's nothing to do with 7-Eleven, but it's just, like, similar. It's all basically technology. They opened the first one in Seattle on the ground floor of the Amazon headquarters. So there's no checkout lines, no cashiers. Took them 5 years to actually make it. The outside looks essentially like a high-end 7-Eleven. And the inside, there's, you know, salads, sandwiches, beverages, wines. Keep in mind, Amazon just acquired Whole Foods, the company. So they've got a lot of Whole Foods products in there, which, as you know, are just big sellers. And you know, they have some kind of a technology that runs this whole store. There are actual employees there doing other things. But as far as your shopping experience, you come in, you pick out your stuff. It's like prepaid somehow. It just started today. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm not a big fan of the lack of jobs that it creates, but man, I can't tell you. I'm a single guy. I go into the supermarket or even a 7-Eleven, and it is just the convenience is. If you get stuck behind the wrong person or what have you, and you're just trying to get one quick thing, it's like just the most unbearable thing. It totally kills the reason why you went there, for the convenience. So if that's gonna help that, and I believe that's what the article was saying, that's their whole motivation is to make the shopping experience more convenient and quicker, more efficient, then that sounds dope to me.
I get your point, but you made the most interesting point and the most important point of all.
The jobs.
You're taking away jobs.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing you don't ever want to do is take away jobs. I mean, in our industry, automation takes away jobs. You know,
absolutely.
You hear it a lot of times. You're listening to a radio station on another dial somewhere in the city, and you don't know it, but the DJ pumped it in back in San Jose, and you think he's local, but he's not. It's called automation, which takes away jobs. Here, we got our guys overnight, our point guy overnight, and we like that because the jobs are still there. And that right there is a concern, but at the same time, right, if you're the consumer, you want it to be convenient. I do get it. So I guess in a way it's kind of
torn.
Dope.
Yeah.
Yep, kind of torn one way or the other. I got one final one here, going back to the game and going back to the Eagles in Philly.
Philadelphia is what
we
call it.
Quick story. Yeah, this is maybe 4 years ago when the Eagles played in San Diego. talking to some Charger fans, and they were talking about how they're up on the top level, and the Eagle fans are just standing there just giving them the business for absolutely no reason because they're Charger fans in San Diego. So they're showing videos of Eagle fans picking up stones and throwing them at Viking fans when they're walking in the stadium. And then it gets to a point where they attack Viking fans, take their brims from them, and do disgusting things to them, Ari. Give a listen.
We had some friends who had their hats taken off and thrown in the urinals and urinated on.
One that was walking down to his seat and pushed down, punched in the face on the... He was laying on the ground.
A lot of random acts of violence.
I don't mind losing, but if the people are going to be that bad, I'm not going to go.
Usually it's like 90% good people, 10% bad, and this is completely reversed. 10% good, 90% bad.
They gave it up. They didn't give what they could have given. And we deserve better.
It's a damper on everything, yes. Not interested in going to the Super Bowl anymore.
You know, that's a shame. Wow. You go to a game to have fun. If you have your kids with you, if you have your girl with you, okay, if you got your dogs with you, it's a different story. You and your boys, you're going, you know, unfortunate, but you might have to tangle, all right? You might have to throw down. But if you got your girl with you and you got four dudes talking trash, catcalling on your girl, or you got your kids and they're throwing beer on you and it gets on your kid,
it's a wrap.
See, that's the problem. So, Eagle fans, and I'm a drop on them because I believe they're going to win the game straight up. I'm going to do that part of it. But in the end, Eagle fans, I'm sorry. Bunch of dopes.
Yeah.
All right, lighters down. When we get back, your favorite part of the show is the giveaway package and that final go-round. The Vegas Golden Knights in Columbus. Tomorrow night, T-Mobile. Next.
Now back to Game On. Pete Williams.
353 in the Valley. Final go-round brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. Let's do it right now. G-Nights. Tomorrow night. Columbus. T-Mobile. Caller number 40 at 702-365-9200. 702-365-9200. Caller number 40. You got the tickets. The G-Nights. Best in the league in points. Take them. You got the ticks. Call us up. Ari's like, man, why you got to give a big number? Damn it. Mm-hmm.
Got to make it hard for them and me.
Why not underdog, huh?
Excuse me. I got to go take these calls. Bye.
Our special guest at Westgate. We'll get him on again next week. Also for Ari, I'm Seed Williams. And for Brad the Believer, I believed in his Vikes and they let him down. But life goes on. I'm Seed Williams, folk. Keep your chins tucked low, guards up high. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show tomorrow. NBC Sports Radio 920, Game On, Game Over.